This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. It was a time when comics meant paper-thin booklets with drawings of superheroes, and Comic-Con gatherings were fans in elaborate costumes lining up to meet their favorite illustrators. But today's comics are multimedia experiences, and comic conventions offer opportunities to see the latest on the intersection of traditional comics with movies, music, e-books, and video games. More than 7,000 people are expected to gather in Durham this weekend for NC Comic-Con. One of the NC Comic-Con organizers is illustrator Tommy Lee Edwards, and he joins me now on the State of Things. Welcome back, Tommy. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for having us.
Also, one of us with us is a guest at this year's event. Gerard Way is the lead singer, was in the band My Chemical Romance. He is also the creator of the comic series The Umbrella Academy, and he will be at Comic-Con and is here with us on the State of Things. Gerard, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Tommy, tell us about NC Comic-Con and how it's changed over the years.
Well, this will be our third year downtown Durham, and I think each year it's grown more and more, and so I think that, you know, there's probably going to be much more than 7,000 people there. We never know, and some of it's exciting and some of it's terrifying.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the highlights?
So some of the highlights are the panels and the workshops, and which include, you know, our guests like Gerard, like Charlie Adler, who's the co-creator of the Walking Dead comic book, which spawned, you know, the AMC TV series. So he's coming over from the UK. This is his only show in the United States this year. Adam Hughes, Jean-Paul Leon, you know, huge industry veterans, and also a lot of newer names. Stacy Lee is drawing a book for Marvel called Silk, you know, and so it's a wide variety. But then there's also the film festival at the North Carolina, the theater. We have events going on outside of the panels and workshops and signings. There's a big gala on Saturday night, you know, there's a bar crawl tonight. So we're trying to really make Durham a destination for everyone where they can come and really just spend the whole weekend.
You know, you talked about the creator of The Walking Dead and how it's now a TV series. And I think this gets to what is happening now in the adventure and the comic world, the multi-platform experience. These don't stay in the pages of the books anymore. And I think that's a big part of what seems to be going on. And you're highlighting at this year's event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what's fun about what we do is, especially me as a person who's been creating comics and films and things for, you know, 20 some years, this is my way to sort of bring something slightly more unique to the world of conventions. So where instead of a standard show where you might have just a lot of celebrities, and which is also really cool, but we really are based on the creators. So you would have, you know, like The Walking Dead is a fantastic TV show, but what's behind that? Who created that? Who wrote that? Who came up with, you know, so it's a lot of, you know, also an educational slant on that as well. So I think a lot of aspiring creators will have a lot to get from it.
Gerard, tell us how you got started. You got started creating comics early on and were published at a pretty young age.
I was, yeah. I had to go to the hospital. I used to have chronic ear infections when I was a kid, like really bad. And they used to have to take me to the emergency room every time. It turns out they had to pull out my tonsils,
yeah,
which I think they don't do anymore. And so I was in hospital, and my grandma brought me these comics, and then I was immediately hooked. And then as soon as I got out of the hospital, I started tracking them down and hitting the local, you know, convenience store or whatever back then.
Yeah,
and so then I was immediately like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to write. I'm going to draw comics. Mm. And then I worked really hard. I kept hitting conventions and pitching ideas to different people. And I met all kinds of people that way. I actually met Rob Layfield that way.
But tell us about Rob. We don't know who that is.
Rob Layfield is, and I think I said his name correctly,
yeah,
right? He was like the rising star from that era of 90s Marvel. Mm-hmm. Like he was kind of the forefront of that. And he had like a completely different style of drawing. And there was like a certain kind of energy to his work. But I remember handing him a script too. And I would just meet these people. And then eventually I had found, you know, I had happened upon this publisher, Boneyard Press, and then they dug it and they put it out.
Tell us more about it. The Umbrella Academy. What is it?
The Umbrella Academy is kind of, it's a story about, this it's a dysfunctional family story for mm-hmm. sure. And it's rooted in all the things I grew up loving, like X-Men and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And I was trying to recapture some of that flavor that it had from when I was a kid. And I was trying to remember all the things that I loved about X-Men and try to make a comic like that. Because, you know, X-Men today is very different.
What comes first for you? I mean, is it driven for you? Is the story driven by the pictures? Do you see the images first, or do you have a storyline and try to illustrate that? How does
I do see shots in my head, and sometimes yeah. you could see a shot in your head and or a panel of a comic, and that could spring forth pages worth yeah. of material just from that single image. In fact, I structured Umbrella Academy around that idea of basing issues around these double-page spreads that we do in the comic with text. Mm-hmm. And we do these really big spreads. And that's always where you get the title. And it usually is that image that has spawned the whole comic.
How about your music career? Does your sort of creativity in music play a part in the comic book?
It does, because I've found over the years that all your art is relative to each other, and it affects each other. And when I was working on Black Parade and recording that album, I was also working on Umbrella Academy. So to me, the two are connected, and they have a similar flavor in certain regards.
I mean, do you see one is your music a soundtrack in any way, or are they unrelated in that way?
I think in that way they're a little unrelated. Yeah. You know, I've not crossed that bridge, although we did connect my comic True Lies of the Fabulous Killjoys to an album that My Chemical Romance had made. I never felt like that album was a soundtrack to the comic. I've yet to kind of cross that. But multimedia stuff is really exciting to me, too. And, you know, you're always just trying to crack the code on how to do that properly.
Tommy, I don't know if there's anybody in a good position to answer this. Maybe it's people who've been in comics for a long, long time. But the question of how multimedia and kind of digital platforms and the way we view media now, the way we take in adventure, how that affects the way animators and illustrators work today. They didn't, I mean, you talked about Gerard growing up seeing these comic books, but that world is changing now.
Yeah, it's definitely different. Gerard and I have the similar background where you just go to the corner drugstore and look at the spinner rack, or mm-hmm. next to the magazines would be the comics. And as time's gone on, it's a little more where you'd have to actually go to a comic shop. You know, the whole way of distributing the books and everything has changed. But now, yeah, I mean, you can go and get the stuff online.
And games, too.
Yeah.
Forgive me for interrupting,
yeah.
but it seems to me that video games would have a big impact on the way people create comic books these days.
Yeah, I think that there's always a real big need for story content, even when it comes to games. So games, comics, you know, everything seems to have a story behind it. And I think that I'm seeing that with video games. I'm seeing that with, you know, stuff that has a big fan following. Mm-hmm. They like to get into the characters. They like to feel like they're part of this world. And so even with a comic that's coming out in print form, it's nice to have the choice. You know, I prefer personally to read it in a printed book form, mm-hmm. but then other people are just, you know, it's a generational thing sometimes where, you know, my kids are reading them on their iPads, or, you know, they're reading web comics, which is completely foreign to me, you know, mm-hmm. so they have a completely different,
right.
But the thing about it is now it's so much easier to get your work seen, and places like how Gerard mentioned going to a convention and getting to meet the creators, that's what we're doing with the convention here. But at the same time, there's like a way to interact with them online, yeah. you know, through social media. There's a way for you to post your own stuff online and actually have people see it.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting kind of, you know, brave new world of being able to showcase your own work.
But I'm wondering if the graphics themselves, the illustrations themselves are affected by video graphics, for instance. Are we seeing changes in the way artists approach?
Sometimes. I think sometimes it depends on, you know, where is this going to be used, you know? So
yeah.
you sort of have to think of it practically, like, oh, is it going to be printed, or is it going to be moving?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have sound, you know? So having all those tools is really cool. So I think that, but also with the technology comes new tools. So like building things in 3D,
mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm drawing Spider-Man and I have to do Manhattan and over and over and over, hey, it might make sense for me to actually build this place.
From the ground up, right?
Yeah, and actually, you know, in drawing on the computer, you know, I do a lot of my work on the Cintiq tablet where I draw on my monitor. But at the same time, most of my comics I prefer to still draw with ink on paper.
You have a demo of Tom Clancy's The Division, right?
Yeah, there's the local video game company Red Storm, which is part of Ubisoft. They do all the Rainbow Six and Ghost Recon, all of the really popular video games from Tom Clancy. This will be the very first playable demo anywhere in the world that the public can come in, and there's a whole network of games where they can go and play against each other. So yeah, it's great because they're in, you know, they're local. Everybody's local except for like a handful of guests, you know, that are flying in from all over the world.
Sounds great. I've got about 30 seconds left. You can give us a cryptic clue about a project you're working on.
Yeah, I have one project I'm doing with Random House and Lex Records and Google, which we can talk about another time. But then, yeah, my TV series I've been working on for years, finally just sold it to a major network and have some really talented folks involved. I'm excited to come back and talk to you about that sometime.
When the aforementioned major network is ready to announce that,
yeah,
we'll have
exactly.
you back to tell us more.
But all started with comics.
Tommy Lee Edwards, creative director for NC Comic Con, and Gerard Way, musician and creator of the comic series The Umbrella Academy, one of the speakers and guests at NC Comic Con this week in Durham. Thank you both for being on the show.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
You got details at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we're going to take a deeper look at bat fossils and their evolution through time, stuff you never even thought about when we talk about bats on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.